And I just continue to say I'm excited for what God is doing in our house, in our presence here at Return. We're seeing wonderful things happening, and many souls being saved and set free and delivered through the power of Jesus Christ. You know, I want to share with those that are involved in programs, and the programs are awesome and they're wonderful, but you must also put Jesus into the equation. For without Him, we don't have the power to break addictions. It's not by my own self-will or my own willpower, because I've been there and I've tried it, and I understand that our willpower won't help us. It won't bring us through. We need something bigger than ourselves. And it is a higher power, but it's got to be a real higher power. And His name is Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to go this morning to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And we're going to talk about when you're in life and it seems like everything is dry. You'll see the picture on the screen there. You see the terrain there. It looks like it's all dried up and not been water for a while. That's what we want to speak on here this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 17. And I want to read to you beginning in verse number 1, and we'll go through verse number 7. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Well, I hear some rain. Wow. Wow. I believe the anointing is here this morning. Wow, that's incredible. Speak of the rain and it comes. It's very interesting, because that's how my message begins this morning. The Lord had told Elijah to tell Ahab that it's not going to rain for years. And it was the Lord also himself that told Elijah to get up, to turn east, and go hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Now Elijah must have thought, "Man, this is great. I speak and the rain stops. I get up in the morning and the ravens bring me bread, they bring me flesh. I drink from the brook Cherith, and I do the same thing in the evening. How could life be any better than this? God blesses me in the morning. God blesses me in the evening. He speaks through me and the rain stops. What a powerful and anointed man of God I am." But then all of a sudden, the Bible says that the brook dries up. The brook God told him to go to, the place that God ordained him to be sustained, The place that he was to go for his strength, for his refuge, all of a sudden, it has dried up. Let me say to you this morning, to those that are content to just come to church and to go home and leave the same way day after day after day, this teaching may not mean so much to you, but for those who desire a closer walk in a personal walk with God, this message is key to understanding the ways of God. There are some ministries that are sitting upon these seats this morning that have all but dried up because you do not understand God's way. But before God can trust you to be used greatly by Him, you must understand, what am I going to do when the brook dries up? How many of you here this morning have gone through basic training? Maybe you've gone through boot camp. You've been in the military, and you know what it's like to go through a time of training and a time of hardship and a time of trouble. I'm for sure all of the ones who have been to the military, you can still go back to the day that you were going through that boot camp training, and you can remember the procedures that you learned and the things that you went through and the trainings that you went through during those 8 weeks or however many weeks of training that you went through. In my mind, I believe that boot camp for most is the first time that you really got away from home. You were used to being at home with your mom and your dad or whatever your situation might have been. And you go away to boot camp. It's a time that you learn discipline. You find out real fast what a day of work, a full day of work, is all about. Because you get up early in the morning, 5 o'clock, and you start training. And 6 o'clock, you eat breakfast, and then all day long you are training until the evening hours of that evening, because you are getting yourself disciplined for the battle that you might have to go through later in your life. It's also a place where the military train their soldiers into what they want them to become. It's a place where the men and the boys are separated. It's a boot camp. It's a place where you learn about war. And if you're not successful in boot camp, you can never be successful on the battlefield. In boot camp, a soldier is stripped away of their self-will. They learn what's important really quickly and what's not important really quickly. It's a place where young men and young women lose their rebellion, because they are broken down quickly by their drill sergeants. They learn what it is to follow orders, and they follow leaders all the way to death if need be. They find out that in boot camp, you cannot retreat, you cannot give up, you cannot stay in your bed if you feel like staying in your bed. You can't just make a decision that I'm not going to go out today. You have to get out of your bed and you have to do what is in order for that day. Boot camp is a place where you are told what you do and you say yes, sir, to the command. You may say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you today that all the training and all the discipline and all the pressure that a soldier goes through, it makes that soldier strong and it makes that soldier ready to fight in the battle. It makes him stronger. It makes him more disciplined. It makes him more mature. Can you do that by reading a book? No. Can you do that by just watching? No. Can you do that from the easy chair of your home? No. A soldier has to leave the comfortableness of home and be put in a place alone where it's dry, where it's lonely, and where it's personal. Now, abide with me for just a few minutes, because I'm going somewhere with this. I'm here to tell you today that boot camp is a place where the military sends their soldiers to teach them a whole lot in a short amount of time. But what the soldier does learn in a short amount of time is essential to his or her survival upon the battlefield. Now, some of us, when we relate this to the world in which we live in, I can look back over the course of my life and I can honestly say, in the years that I have been in ministry, and especially in the years that I have pastored, I have gone through some boot camp experiences. You see, what will you do when you find yourself all alone there in a foxhole? Somewhere all by yourself, and it's just you and God and the devil. Will you be able to trust God? Will you murmur and complain, or will you say, I need to quit? I submit to this congregation this morning that God has a boot camp for His soldiers, and we are in training, and we are going through the things that we go through in life so that when we face the battle and we face the trials and the situations and the circumstances of life, we are not some kind of sissy that's going to bow down and give up to the devil. But we're going to fight the devil because we have been through the terrains and we have been through the training and we have been through the battlefields, and we can rise up and we can say that if God is for me, I don't care who's against me. So God has a boot camp for His soldiers. It's not voluntary, it's not optional, it's not suggested, but it is mandatory. If you're going to fight in God's army, and if you're going to be successful on the battlefield with Satan and all of his imps, you're going to have to make it through God's boot camp. And so here's where we find Elijah. When we think of Elijah, there are usually two events that come to our minds. We all remember how he was carried away into heaven in a chariot of fire. And we also know that Elijah, by his great victory on Mount Carmel. But let me remind you all of something. Before we can be turned to stand on Mount Carmel, we must first pass by our own dry brook. I'm here to tell you, people of God, that you have a desire to be used by God, that if God is going to use you, He must first train you, and He also has to break you. It's a divine order of breaking bread. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19 it said, "And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them." Notice He took the bread and He gave thanks. He broke it so that He could give them the bread. It's no different with us this morning. God wants to take us from where we have been, and He wants to anoint us and bless us with His Spirit, but then He must break your spirit and your desires and your dreams and your ambitions. And when your vision becomes God's vision, then He can send you out into the world. You see, there are no shortcuts. There is no easy way. That's why we ask, what do we do when our brook dries up? Before it's all said and done, God is going to find out if you really love Him or not. He's going to prove you. He's going to put you through test. He's going to try you, and each and every one of us will be tried differently, like it or not. These are foundational lessons that we all must learn. Lessons like trust, lessons of faith, lessons of obedience, lessons of faithfulness. You see, it is so much easier living for God when faith and trust and obedience and faithfulness in God's Word is not an option for the saint of God. When you realize, I have no other place to go, when you make it up in your mind, I'm not going back to the world, but as for me and my house, we have made a decision that we're serving the Lord. It's kind of like I've drawn a line in the sand, and I've made a decision that I'm not turning back. I'm not going back to the world. When you make up your mind that I am not following man, but I am following God, hear me when I say, before God can put you on the battlefield as a soldier, He must send you through boot camp. I know we don't like it in those terms, but it stands to reason before God can really use us, He must first remove us from all that hinders His will from being done in our lives. And Elijah just stood there before the king of Israel and delivered the message of judgment that God had given him. And now God says to Elijah, He says, go hide thyself. You see, most of us want to stick around for the accolades and thanks and the hand clapping and the praise, but God says, all right, you did what I needed you to do. Now I need you to get out of here and I need you to go hide yourself. It seems to me that God wants to keep Elijah in the face of Ahab. You see, God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You see, God has a plan. He wants to transform Elijah from Elijah the Tishbite into Elijah the man of God. Let's go back to 1 Kings 17 and verse 2 and 3 again. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence, or go away from here and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Now, I want us to notice here this morning that the Lord sent Elijah into the brook Cherith. That word Cherith means to cut off or to cut down. In other words, God has cut off Elijah from the public, from the public's view, so that He might cut him down to size. Now, we don't like that kind of lesson. Nobody likes to be cut down or cut off. Just watch somebody in traffic. Some people lose their religion when somebody cuts them off in traffic. And so, nobody likes to be cut off or cut down. One of the hardest lessons that each of us must learn is that before God will ever use you for His glory, you must first pass by the brook of Cherith. He must hide you away and cut you down so that His image may be revealed in you. Do you realize this morning that God has a message for the world to hear, and the only way of getting that message to the world is through you, through us, through me, so that the only thing that is hindering God's message is our flesh. I talked in our deacons' meeting on Tuesday night about Bobby's phrase, keeping the main thing the main thing. We must be humble. We must do all that we do in unity in order for God to use us. More often than not, we have too much pride and too much jealousy and too much hatred, and we have our own little quirks and attitudes and ideas. God needs to kill our flesh so that all the world sees when they look at us is Him. Let me say this morning. If you're the same person that you've been 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, and you're the same person you were when you got saved, something is wrong. I can truly say that I am not the same man that I was 15 years ago. I'm not even the same person that I was 5 years ago, because God has taken me to the brook of Cherith. I want us to notice what the Word of God says. God says to Elijah to go to Cherith. Cherith is a hidden place. It's by nature a hard and a lonely place. And here Elijah, the man that could stop the rain when he prayed, is now being removed from the spotlight. Here God would begin a work in his spiritual life. Here he would have alone time with God. And God would find out if Elijah loved him or if it was just words. God needs to know what you will do in your hidden place. How will you live when it's just you and God? I've often said that the true test of a man's character is how he or she lives for God when they're all alone. Powerful lessons can be learned in the hidden places of life. Lessons God can learn about us, and lessons we can learn about God. In the hidden place of Cherith is where Elijah became a man of God. It was here that he learned to trust God totally. It was here that Elijah was forced to learn and to lean on the Lord. You see, before we can ever give out, we must first take in. Before God can pour anything out of our vessels, he must first put something within our vessel. We all need to learn the value of a hidden life. You see, there is a part of us the world sees, and a part of us that they do not see. But can I say, the part that they do not see is the part that defines who we are. Let me tell you something. You can tell a preacher that gets up and preaches if he is under the anointing or not. It's based upon if he has a prayer life or not. You can tell a singer when they get up and sing. They may sing beautifully, but you can tell if the anointing breaks open, it's because of the prayer life that is in their life. That's how you distinguish the difference in a beautiful preacher or a beautiful singer and the anointing of a preacher or a singer. You see, too many are trying to do God's service without prayer, and it does not work. The only thing that can destroy the yoke is the anointing of God, and God is going to anoint those who can be trusted with the anointing, and God gets his trust to us by our prayer life. That's how he anoints us with his power. You see, a praying person is not a proud or boastful person. A praying person does not need his name or her name mentioned. A praying person understands that all the glory goes to God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. A praying person has the right attitude. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and pray your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Do you realize that time spent alone in the presence of God is what brings glory to God? I want to tell us something this morning. A life that is lived in solitude before the Lord is a life that one day will be used to bring God great glory in our lives. You see, God wants us to come to a place where we are found faithful in the hidden life. When we are found faithful in the hidden life, He will expand our sphere of influence and bring us out of the hiding place. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, it says, "He that is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." You see, something we must never forget. God sent you there, and God knows that you are there. He sent you to that hidden place for a reason, so that He might reveal you in His time. In verse 4 of our scripture this morning, it said, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." You see, Cherith was a very specific place. Can I say to somebody today, you're wondering and you're worried about your enemies and your so-called friends, but friend, God is big enough to use them to bless you. Never forget that God knows what you need and God has your provision. He has your provision this morning. He will move heaven and earth to see that your seed is met. David said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have never seen a seed begging for bread." He knows where you are. He knows where the provisions are that you need. He will direct your path to the place where He can meet your need. In Philippians 4:19, it said, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Note the phrase, "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord." When God called Elijah, Elijah simply stepped out in faith and he obeyed. That is the secret to surviving our Cherith experiences. Coming to the place where we do not question God, but when God speaks, we respond to Him by doing what God tells us to do. You see, when we are on God's payroll, He will pay our way. Let us look at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You see, when you choose to walk a path He has not ordained, you're paying your own way. And this is the lesson of Cherith. And we've all done this. We've all been guilty of trying to walk our own way. God's servants must come to a place where they trust God alone, and they must trust Him absolutely and unequivocally. Elijah had nothing but the promise of God, yet for him, He was sufficient to let him know that he would be well. Notice that God was in absolute control of the situation. The ravens did as He commanded them, and they brought bread and they brought flesh, and they brought them to the prophet twice per day. The brook there was as well. All of this was ordered by the Lord to teach the prophet that God was in absolute control of everything that was happening. I want to stop here for just a moment this morning and let you know that whatever is going on in your life this morning, you might feel like that you're at the brook of Cherith, but God knows what is going on in your life. God knows the challenges that are going on in your life today. And God is in control. God owns the cattle upon a thousand hills. He is in control this morning, and there's nothing that our God does not have the ability to do. And so all of this was ordered by the Lord to teach the prophet that God was in absolute control of what was happening. The whole purpose in God's plan was to help Elijah come to a place where he could trust God one day at a time. I would imagine that there was some fear in the prophet's heart that first evening. Would the ravens appear? Would the flesh and the bread appear in the morning? But as the day had passed and God had proved Himself to be faithful and trustworthy, Elijah learned to walk by faith. Friends, that is where the Lord wants to bring us to this morning. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Church, what will you do when the brook dries up in your life? Imagine how Elijah must have felt as he watched that stream grow smaller and smaller each day. One day its voice wasn't as loud as it had been the day before. As the days passed, the little brook began to get narrow. And then one day it was all gone. Nothing was left but a dry, cracked stream bed. You see, this happens to us in life. That job that we had invested our lives in dries up. That husband or wife that we thought would always be there walks out on you. Your health has been attacked. Your finances have been attacked. The car won't run. The children that used to be angels now won't listen to you. A church split, no friends, no ministry, no place to be. What will you do when the brook dries up? Regardless of the circumstances, when we are faced with these kinds of trials, we must never lose sight of two great truths. Number one, the God who provides the water can also withhold the water. He is in control of our lives. And as Elijah was about to find out, God had another place already prepared for him. And so it is with us this morning. When our brook dries up, God has another channel of blessing already lined up for us. A dry brook is not always a sign of God's displeasure. Certainly, God uses the events of life to chasten when we walk outside of His will. But I want to assure you this morning that God is in control. And God knows the situations of your life. As our musicians return this morning, some of you here this morning are wondering what to do, how you're going to make it. My advice to you today is that you come to the place early where you row everything off onto the Lord. And you trust the Lord to take care of you. If you are a child of God, may He help you come to a place where you realize that everything that happens in your life is a part of God's plan for your life. And nothing can happen in you or to you that God does not allow. God is faithful this morning. God is just this morning. God is real this morning. As we stand in this building, I never want to fail to give a call, an altar call. You're here this morning and you've got so many burdens going on in your life. Maybe you're trying to change and to turn your life around, but it just seems like it's so humongous how you're going to make that happen. I remember some 20-some years ago when I came back to the Lord. My life was confused, was all messed up, just quite honestly was in shambles. I was at the point of suicide in my life. I didn't know where to turn. I did know where to turn. I knew that God was there because I had been saved from a very young age. Got filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit by the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue at the age of 5. But when I got up old enough, I left the ways of God and departed from it and lived and did things that I shouldn't have done. And my life got to an absolute bottom. And I was planning how to take my life. And for some reason, the Lord drew my spirit to get to the house of God on a Sunday morning. And as I was there that Sunday morning, I felt the Holy Spirit in the place. And there was a gentleman there speaking that morning, and I was sitting on the back seat, and he pointed me out. He said, "There's a young man sitting on the back row, and the Spirit of God is upon him." And he asked me to come up front, and when I did, he laid his hands on me, and he began to speak over my life. And I'll tell you, from that day, I was changed. I had been in and out of rehabs, I had been in and out of halfway houses, I had been in and out of jail on a couple of occasions. I tell you that to tell you this, that there is a God that is capable of bringing deliverance into your situation this morning. And I want us to understand that salvation is not a one-time experience. Salvation is a continual experience. It's something that we have to wake up every day and make a decision that I'm going to serve the Lord. Doesn't mean there won't be trials and there won't be temptations and there won't be challenges that come against me. But it means that I'm going to make a decision to serve the Lord. I've come too far to turn back now. I've drawn my line in the sand and I made a decision that I'm serving Jesus. Somebody here this morning needs to step out from where you are. And God wants to do a new thing in your heart and in your life today. Maybe you need salvation. I want us to understand that salvation is a repentance. It is a change. When we become saved, we make a change. We work on the ways we talk. We work on the ways we walk. We work on the things that we do and the places we go. It's a change. It's making a roundabout change in my life. And so if God is speaking to you here this morning, if you need salvation in your life today, I want you to please step out and come. don't go another second nor another day. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're hopeless. I want to tell you, God will bring hope into your life this morning. Bless these that are coming. There are others here this morning, if God is speaking to you, whatever your situation might be, I want you to please step out from where you are. Amen.
I have looked down into the hearts of my people this day. I've seen a willingness. I've seen a desire. I've seen a willingness to allow me to come in and do those things that are needed in people's lives.
Amen.
This day, if my people will put that offering of consecration up on my altar, my fire will continue to grow. As my people dedicate themselves unto me, my Holy Spirit will flow through this place.
Amen.
In a new and living way.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If we could have some people come in and pray with these that are at the altar this morning, let's make sure every person has someone praying with them. Please come.